Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by Ortho Cincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for everyday injuries. So sports injuries, work injuries, they cover it all. OrthoCincy.com, that's OrthoCincy.com. I am your host, Double T, Travis. They're glad that I have a voice for this Monday 30-minute show. A lot of sectional basketball from over the weekend, including a grueling 3 overtime contest on Friday. I wasn't sure I was going to make it on a Saturday night for a sectional championship game that we called here on your hometown radio station, but did make it through it and hope to make it through this 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation. And we will be focusing a lot on high school basketball, the sectional rounds from over the weekend. We'll preview the regional for the teams that have made it out of the sectional. Got some other basketball-related topics to get to in terms of some postseason awards. Also want to hit on a couple of national basketball stories to start off the show, just because it's such an amazing accomplishment for these individuals. I want to start with LeBron James in the NBA, the first ever NBA player to reach 40,000 career points. Of course, the all-time leading scorer in NBA history, now standing at 40,017 points. And what a tremendous career LeBron James has had. Not going to sit here and get into an argument or a conversation about him being the greatest basketball player of all time or where he stands on the all-time list. I think it's pretty obvious that he is one of the all-time greats. We'll just leave it at that. But to play a 21-year career, be 39 years old, and to have a career average of 27.1 points per game is absolutely ridiculous. Most NBA players, when they get to age 39, if they get to age 39, there is a tremendous drop-off in their production. I look at Vince Carter as one of those players that was always a really, really good player, all-star caliber player, and he played up until he was 39, 40 years old, and his points per game nowhere near where LeBron James is. And of course, they are two totally different players. LeBron's in a different atmosphere, a different spectrum than Vince Carter. Vince Carter, a good NBA player for a long, long time, but just wasn't as good at his older age. Even Michael Jordan, yes, he retired a couple times. He had some great stints, or great games, I should say. He had a decent stint with the Washington Wizards. I think he was pretty good for his age. He had some really big games where he scored a massive amount of points, which was crazy for his age. But the longevity and the consistency of LeBron James is like nothing we have ever seen in the world of basketball. 40,000 career points and 27 points per game, his career total over a 21-year career. And he looks as good as he has ever looked in year 21 at age 39. He has altered his game throughout the years. I think he's become a lot better outside shooter as he has gotten older. That has helped him keep up that point per game total, but still a really difficult person to stop when he gets going towards the basket and in transition on fast breaks. Still as athletic as ever at the age of 39. He is just a marvel in terms of beating Father Time up until this point. There will be a day where Father Time defeats LeBron James, but it has not happened quite yet. Perhaps the biggest name in basketball across all age groups would be Caitlin Clark, the star from Iowa. She is now the all-time leading scorer in college basketball history, a 35-point performance in a win over highly ranked Ohio State over the weekend. 3,685 points, excuse me, passing Pistol Pete Maravich's record of 3,667, which he set in between 1967 and 1970. Really impressive for Pistol Pete as he was able to score that many points without a three-point line and do so in that short period of time. Pretty incredible stuff, but that is not to take away from the accomplishment of Caitlin Clark. That is a lot of points, and it's a lot of points to score when you know you're going to get the best from the opposition on every single night. They are game planning to try to take Caitlin Clark out of the game or at least contain her as much as they possibly can. Easier said than done. She's got unlimited range, great ball handler, doesn't only score on three-point shots. She can score at all three levels, just a really well-rounded player. And she does shoot the ball a lot. She scores a lot because that's what she should be doing. She's that talented where, you know, she could shoot every possession, and I don't think anybody would bat an eye about it, but I do think she is a willing passer and a gifted passer. Can't wait to see her play in the pros. She has declared for the draft, and wouldn't you know it, the Indianapolis Fever have the number one pick in the WNBA draft. What a position to be in. It's a no-doubt slam-dunk pick. Caitlin Clark going to be a star in the WNBA. She's going to sell a lot of tickets, and there's going to be a lot of folks in our area, tri-state area, that are going to be able to make the 90-minute, maybe two-hour drive, depending on where you're at, to Indianapolis to see her play professional basketball. And you're going to be able to do that as often as you would like, or as often as, you know, your bank account will allow you to do it. But I would suggest, if you get a chance, to go see Caitlin Clark in person, particularly after she's drafted by the Indiana Fever, I would say put that on your list of things to do, because that's going to be a spectacle in and of itself. So pretty cool, I think. Caitlin Clark, the all-time leading scorer in college basketball history, is no doubt going to play her professional basketball in Indiana unless something crazy happens. I don't foresee her forcing a trade to another team. She's going to come here and likely change the fortunes of that team that has the number one pick. They're not going to be picking at the top of that draft for much longer after Caitlin Clark gets to the Circle City. So wanted to hit on those two stories to start the broadcast here this evening, just because of how significant of records those are in the NBA and in college basketball. So LeBron James, Caitlin Clark, watch them play. They're very, very good. Some other basketball players that are very, very good. There's plenty of them here in Southeast Indiana, and the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association last week announced their girls all-state team for the 2023-24 high school season. Of course, 15 seniors, 15 underclass, earned Supreme 15 all-state honors. Many more were named large school all-state, small school all-state, or honorable mention. And we did have area players earning recognition from the IBCA. Julia Meyer, a young lady we've talked about a little bit on this show, great season, senior honorable mention, 14 points per game, 8 rebounds, a little over 2 assists a game for Jacksonville. They had a great season, winning a sectional championship yet again. Nicole Mears going to go on to play college basketball, senior honorable mention out of Franklin County, near 18 point per game score and right around 8 rebounds a game. A fantastic career for Nicole Mears. Alyssa Simpson, the leading rebounder and scorer in the ORVC, senior honorable mention, 17 points per game, 12 rebounds. And then you had some young ladies from outside of our listening area but played in the EIAC or the ORVC. 3 from Greensburg, Leah West, Claire Larrison, and Miley Wilkerson, all receiving recognition. Leah West was on the underclass large school all-state team, 16 points per game, 6.5 rebounds. And then a young lady from Shaw Memorial, underclass all-honorable all-mention, along with Larrison and Miley Wilkerson. So you can read up more on these young ladies and how well they played over at EagleCountryOnline.com. And some other postseason awards that have been made official. The ORVC announcing their boys basketball all-conference team. I have seen some rumblings about the EIAC all-conference team and some EIAC basketball players that have earned statewide recognition. A lot of that stuff circulating on social media, no official announcement has been made. So until we get all of the names that are going to be on those lists, we're going to hold off on writing any stories about that or talking about it on this particular show, because we don't want to leave anybody out or make it look like we're leaving anybody out. So we will wait for the official word. But officially in the ORVC, champion Southwestern Hanover with the most all-conference selections. That is pretty typical. If you're the conference champ, you're more than likely going to have the most players on the all-conference team. Peyton Cloud, Brady Cook, Landon Kidwell, and Jamison Lewis. South Ripley was represented by Cole Henry and Blaine Ward, one of the top duos in the region. Fell short at the sectional this past week, which we will talk about upcoming. But Cole Henry, third leading scorer in the conference, 19.8 points per game. Second leading rebounder at 8.2. Ward was in the top 6 in scoring at 16.4. Led the conference in assists with 70 total assists. Switzerland County duo of Cam Craig and Caden Riley, all-conference. Cam Craig, no doubt, all-conference. The leading scorer at 26.3 points per game and the leading rebounder at 10 a contest. Rising Suns' Brody Morris making all-conference, 17 points per game this year. I like his game a lot. Can score at all three levels. Very, very good player. Great shooter as well. Milan's Micah Norman and Gabe Reilly, both double-digit scorers and both just sophomores. among the top scorers in the league and making all-conference, so a great foundation to build upon for the Milan Indians moving forward. And numerous highlight moments in the ORVC throughout this past season. Cole Henry and Cam Craig eclipsing the 1,000 career point mark, and Shaw Memorial's Philip Kahn, who did make the all-conference team, broke the school's all-time scoring record. So there you have it, the story on the ORVC all-conference team. One more thing to get to before we break and come back and talk boys basketball sectional play from over the weekend. Right now, let's talk a little Harrison girls wrestling. This is a team that we have featured on this show. Many of the Harrison girls wrestling team has been on the show a couple times, and why not? They won the state championship last year in the first year of girls wrestling being recognized with an official state championship by the OHSAA, and Harrison's going to try to go back and win it again this year. Regional champs over the weekend hosting that event at the Harrison High School Activity Center. Not only did they win the regional title, but 8 Lady Wildcats qualifying for the state championship. Chloe Deerwester, who we've talked about a lot on this show, undefeated as a senior, wins the regional at 105. Caden Baird moving on after placing second at 110. Leah Willen, she was defeated in the championship match in 115, but runner-up moving on to the state tournament. Reagan Briggs, 32-1, another senior. She wins at 120, winning by fall in her championship match. Lily Kinzel, another senior, 38-5. She finishes second at 135. Then you have Riley Deerwester moving on at the 140 weight class. She placed fourth at the regional. I'm going to try my best with this name right here. It's Veronica DeCalui. I'd probably butcher that. I'm sorry. But that young lady moving on to the state tournament, 145-pound weight class after finishing fourth. And Jessica Edwards, another senior on this team. She was third at 235. We'll be moving on to the state tournament. There are 4 Wildcat boys wrestlers also advancing. Gavin Bonner, Owen Dennis, Wyatt Brock, and Cole Wansnyder. So congratulations to those 12 Harrison High School wrestlers heading to state, which will start this Friday at the Shot, what they call it up there at the Ohio State University. And every match actually going to be streamed live by the NFHS network. And we have the link and the need to know about the state tournament over at EagleCountryOnline.com. So good luck to the Harrison wrestlers trying to accomplish something big this weekend in Columbus. All right, we are going to step aside for a short break. When we come back, it will be IHSAA Boys Basketball State Tournament Roundup and recap. We'll look ahead to the regional round as well. So stick with me. More to come on Crunch Time here on Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com. Welcome back to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. You can go over to OrthoCincy.com to learn more about their services and all the great physicians that they have on hand at their many locations. That is OrthoCincy.com. All right, without further ado, let's talk some boys high school basketball. We'll call it the main event on this show on this March 4th, and we're going to run down all of the sectionals that included area teams, give you a little recap there, look ahead to the regional round. We're going to start in 4A, work our way down the classifications, and East Central was the host of their 4A sectional 14. Drew a bye into the semifinals, where they did defeat Columbus East on Friday night, 41-37. They played a really close game in the regular season that saw the Trojans win by just a basket. So pretty similar type game that was played on Friday night in St. Leon, I should say. Great crowd on hand. Saw some photos from East Central High School, and the crowd looked absolutely awesome. I'm sure that gave the players the jolt that they needed to get over the hump and get into the championship game. And you get into Saturday, anything can happen, and knew it was going to be a little bit of an uphill battle for East Central in this sectional, just based off of the ratings and statistics and some of those things that are, when they're in front of you on paper, it's hard to ignore. Franklin came into this tournament number 22 in the Sagarin in the entire state. Whiteland was 74th And Shelbyville was 133. Those were the top three teams. They were on the bottom half of the bracket. East Central only had to win one game to play one of those three teams. It ended up being Franklin, who knocked off Whiteland 66-56 in the second semifinal on Friday. Those two teams split in the regular season, both defeating each other by 3 points. Franklin gets the win, moves on to the title game, and you got to give East Central a lot of credit in this game. Not only did they play Franklin very, very close, when, again, the Sagarin rankings, 22-190 on paper, Franklin should beat East Central probably 20 points based on those numbers alone. But it is sectional time. Calendar flipped to March. We know March is a crazy month for basketball, not only in high school, but at other levels as well. And East Central held a lead going into halftime against this really good Franklin team. They end up falling 41-34. But when I looked at the box score, Micah Davis, this is a senior guard for Franklin that has been tearing it up all season long, averaging close to 26 points per game. East Central, we know they're a great defensive team, solid on hand a couple of times this season, particularly when they played Greensburg just a couple of weeks ago, and they held Micah Davis to 6 points, held Franklin to 41 when they were scoring much more than that on the season. So a really, really good defensive effort for East Central, just coming up a little short in that championship game. And I know nobody wants a moral victory this time of the year, but I think in his first year as a head coach in St. Leon, Tyler Teasing did a really nice job with his team. Some really, really talented players. They're going to graduate some good seniors, Dylan Maxwell in particular being one of those. But there's going to be some good talent coming back for this EC team next year. Excited to see where they go. But I thought that they played really well this season, especially at times, and really, really did a good job in the sectional. Just came up a few possessions short of moving on to the regional round. So congratulations to Franklin, the sectional 14 winners in Class 4A. Now, sectional 3A, or excuse me, Class 3A, sectional 29. I'm still a little discombobulated from over the weekend. I don't know if I've recovered from that triple overtime game. I might have mentioned that at the beginning of the show, but before we get into this sectional, I had kind of joked with everyone all week at Greensburg that anytime I show up there this season, there's been overtime. The first time out there in the regular season, Lawrenceburg and Greensburg, they go to double overtime. Return for the East Central Greensburg game at the end of the regular season, they go to overtime. Out there on Wednesday last week for the Batesville-South Dearborn game, and as we are awaiting to jump on the air to broadcast that game, Franklin County and Connersville go into overtime in the first game. And then you get to Friday night, and we know Lawrenceburg and Greensburg played triple overtime. So luckily for my voice and to break the streak, there was no overtime on Saturday night, although the Lawrenceburg Tigers probably wish there were, because that would have given them 4 extra minutes to try to win the sectional championship, which was won by the Batesville Bulldogs. A big congrats to Aaron Garrett and his team. They did enter sectional 29 as the favorite based on the Sagarin rankings, and just the percentages on the John Harrell site had them listed with a 35% chance to win the sectional. Greensburg was right there at 30. Lawrenceburg was at 27%. So those were the three teams that were really in the mix once you got into the semifinals. Yes, Connersville beat Batesville in the regular season, but thought that maybe that was a little bit of a mirage, and it turned out to be. Batesville beats them 48-31 on Saturday night. Lawrenceburg with the grueling 3-overtime win, 38-36. Yes, you heard that score right. They played 3 overtimes, and that's all the scoring there was. That was just kind of the way the game was played. Both teams were being very deliberate on offense. Lawrenceburg maybe more so than Greensburg. They really did want to take the air out of the ball and make it a low-scoring game, because it did favor them, and it ended up favoring them in the long run. For some of the other teams, Rushville, just not strong enough. They came on strong at the end of the year. Kerry Brown back at Rushville. I think he's going to do some really nice things there. 43-27 loss to Greensburg in the first round. Connersville, that OT win in the first round was 30-25 over Franklin County. I know I'm jumping around here a little bit, but want to talk about all these teams. And then Batesville, a little bit of luck goes into winning a sectional championship, and they had a hard-fought win against South Dearborn, 49-45, but a couple shots fall for the Knights. Maybe the ball bounces a different way on a possession or two on that opening game for them, and we're talking about somebody else winning the sectional. So again, kudos to them. They survived and advanced, and they made it through, and they won the championship game, and they played really well on Saturday night. But if you look back at that opening round contest against South Dearborn, that's one that maybe they should be getting more praise for winning. Obviously, you got to win those first two before you get to the final game on Saturday, and that one just could have went anyway, if you ask me. And I was there. I called the game. South Dearborn was doing a great job of hurting Batesville inside the zone. They were really worried about Brody Tiki and his three-point shooting, so they were drawing a lot of attention to Brody, which left things wide open in the middle. Hudson Shackelford had a really good game on Wednesday night, but just wasn't enough to beat Batesville. They made the plays. They made the free throws down the stretch to move on. So I did want to touch on the three overtime game a little bit more before we move on and talk about the championship match that we called on Saturday night. In that Greensburg game for Lawrenceburg, Noah Kaniga was awesome. 12 points, made 4-4 free throws. Charlie Meyer and J.P. Izzo had a couple of big threes in that game. They both made two. Ben Cornett had 7 assists in that game. Couple of big defensive plays down the stretch. I know J.P. Izzo had a big block on one end. They held Busick and Jack McKenzie to 13 total points. McKenzie, a really, really good ball player. I know he's probably still kicking himself. Had a couple of free throw attempts late in the game. Could have won it for Greensburg. I, myself, and many others in the gym were shocked that he didn't at least hit one of those. Really great player, though. That stuff's going to propel him into an amazing senior season. He's a fantastic player. So I hate to see that for anyone, because it is something that can linger with you for a long, long time. But at the end of the day, the shooting was not good for these two teams. Lawrenceburg, who hasn't been a great free throw shooting team for much of the season, did make them on Friday night 8 of 12, 66%, while Greensburg went 9 of 16. That was kind of the difference in the game. And then you fast forward to Saturday night, and much of our broadcast we were talking about, will Lawrenceburg have the legs to win this game? We know that these kids are, you know, 15, 16, 17, maybe 18 years old, and they're resilient. They're in great shape. They can bounce back. But at the same time, I've been out there before. I played 3 years of varsity basketball at Lawrenceburg, and I know that games like that can take a toll on you, especially with how hard they had to play defense for not only four quarters, but for three overtime periods as well. They essentially played 5.5 quarters on Friday night, and to have a really, really quick turnaround and have to guard as intensely as you have to guard against Batesville, who moves the ball maybe better than any other team I've seen in the area this year. It was going to be tough for Lawrenceburg in that game, and it was a good game. There was a time where Batesville was extending that lead out close to 10 points. Lawrenceburg kept fighting back, and every time they got it down to 4 or 2, Batesville had an answer, whether it was Sam Johnson making three-point shots or mid-range jumpers. You also had Gus Prickle and Trenton Lures, who made shots in a timely fashion in this game. Lawrenceburg held Cade Kaiser and Jack Grunkemeyer to 9 points total. I said it on the broadcast to Chuck, if you would have told me that those two young men would have 9 points combined tonight, they're going home. Their season's over. So it's just a product of Batesville not being only about those two players, and they still impacted the game with their defense and their rebounding. Kaiser had 5 block shots. Grunkemeyer, he's a tough guy to go up against down low, rebounding the basketball because of his brute strength. So this is a really good Batesville team. Shot the lights out. They were 8 of 14 from downtown, and that was the big difference in the game for Lawrenceburg. They were only able to make 2 threes. They didn't do as well at the free throw line on Saturday. They only connected on 6 made baskets, and they just didn't have the timely shooting and scoring that Batesville did. And there was a couple times that they got inside and they got good looks at the basket, couldn't get it to fall, maybe playing through some contact. There was probably a couple possessions where they didn't get a call that they thought they should. That's basketball. That's going to happen. So Lawrenceburg, I thought, fought really hard in this game, kept it close. It was just the shot making of Batesville that won out in the end 44-36 to win the sectional championship, their first since 2019. All right, let's move on to the 2A Sectional 45 that took place out at South Ripley. And South Ripley looked like a team that could definitely win this sectional on their home floor. They were drawn into the semifinals against Hauser, just a five-team tournament. So you already had three teams in the semifinals. Milan, who had a 10-point lead over North Decatur at the half of the first game, ends up falling 62-57. North Decatur moves on to play Switzerland County in the semifinals, and what a couple games the folks saw in Versailles on Friday night. Hauser with Trent Moorhead, the son of Rob, who's the superintendent out at South Ripley, wins the game 52-51 over the Raiders. A great matchup there. And then Switzerland County in game two knocks off North Decatur 52-48. If that wasn't enough for you, this had to have been the best sectional in the state. Switzerland County, as an underdog, knocks off Hauser in the championship game 58-57 behind a last-second shot from Cam Craig. And we have that audio for you right now.
Not many left sitting, especially on the Switzerland County side. We are out of the timeout. Cord will inbound. There's the press and a steal! And it goes out of bounds. Who do they say it belongs to? They say Switzerland County! What an absolute grab by the Pacers! And with a made field goal, Switzerland County can take the lead. Here we go. Williams at 13 seconds. He puts the ball on the floor. Comes off the screen with six. Looking. Underneath. Craig at the buzzer. He got it! He got it! He got it! And he fouled. Craig will go to the free throw line to complete the three-point play. 58-57, 1.8 seconds to go. Timeout, Hauser. 1.8 seconds. Cam Craig, all the early frustration. And we said that the half-court shot at halftime boost him. He has hit three huge shots tonight. No bigger for him right there.
Really harder than the last 40 seconds. 58-57. Switzerland County with the lead. Cam Craig going to go to the free throw line.
Free throw. No good. Hauser at the buzzer. It's off the mark. And Switzerland County has won Class 2A Sectional 45.
Incredibly dramatic win from Travis Reitzman's Pacers. Cam Craig finishing with 17 points. The story of the night, the game-winning shot had to be Jacob Williams, a game-high 24 points. This is a young man that had come back from an ACL injury in September. Like, that's pretty mind-boggling, and just had his best performance of the season in the biggest moment. Caden Riley, another ORVC selection like Cam Craig, coming up big with 8 points in that game. So Switzerland County moving on to play Forest Park in the regional on Saturday, and we are going to talk about that. Before we do, we do have audio from our sister station, Wiki Country 95.3. They were there to call the action, as you heard, with the Cam Craig final shot. They also caught up with Travis Reitzman after the win, and we have that for you right now as well.
Coach Reitzman making his way on up, I believe, after he says hi to some more people down there. And we'll get him before we get our player of the game, brought to you by Craig Toyota.
Coach's comments will be sponsored by Gateway Investments. Contact Bill Hensler, Tanner Mahoney, and Ross Hensler for all your investment needs at 201 Clifty Drive on Madison's Hilltop.
Woo! Yeah! Woo! We're all about hugs.
Switzerland County head coach Travis Reitzman joining us. Larry and I just got done last night that we had had for this year. That one right there puts the icing on the cake. Coach, congratulations. You are able to make it happen with Switzerland County. How does sectional champion feel tonight?
Oh, it's awesome. I still can't believe it. I'm just so proud of our guys. I mean, they just never quit. This group, I mean, injuries. Our kids just fought. And, I'm not sure how much we had to lead tonight, but by God, at the end of the day, we won by one.
Let's talk about the ending to this ball game. Let's actually backtrack a little bit, because the first person I want to talk about is a senior that you knew did not want this to be his last night. You talk about injuries. You talk about the grit. Boy, Jacob Williams shows up big time tonight.
Unbelievable. Tears his ACL in September and says, Coach, I will be back. And by God, he was. And then knowing it could be the last game of his high school career, stepped up huge. I mean, unbelievable. And not only him, you know, guys making shots. We knew they were going to be all over Cam. And they were, and our guys made shots. And, of course, we get it to the money man there at the end and gets the bucket and gets fouled, and there she rose.
You had a couple options there at the end, because if you have the lane, you'll allow Williams to go, but he's able to make that extra pass, and Craig gets it in the perfect spot. That's pretty much a gimme shot for him, and to add on to it, he gets fouled in the process. And for him to battle through some early frustrations tonight, to come through in a big way, that's what big players do.
Exactly. You know, we just tried to keep him calm because he was getting frustrated. Players make plays. That's been our kind of our motto here in the sectional. Players got to make some plays, and he came up with some big ones at the end.
Let's talk about you tonight. And, you know, coming back here, whether it's you or me, coming back here always brings up memories from our time here. You had a head coach on the opposing side who played for you.
Yeah.
He's playing not only a mentor, but you're playing the guy who brought South Ripley its last three sectional titles. For you to come back into this gym and do this with your second team in Southeastern Indiana, that's got to be an awfully unique, but at the same time, a very special feeling.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy to think coming back here, a school that I really enjoyed being here and then had a great time and I've met a lot of good people. And then to know that the sectional was here and then to get to face, a mentee, and Trent, who played for me here. And, that was just special in itself. Whatever happened tonight, obviously we definitely wanted to win. But it was just cool to be back here and go against Trent and Hauser Jets. And I got to give those guys credit. Trent's done a great job. He's such a great young coach. And they don't have a senior on that team, so they're going to be a special group next year, and I know Trent will get them in the right direction.
My thanks to Josh Myers from Wiki Country 95.3 for providing the audio of Cam Craig's last second shot, and Travis Reitzman with his reaction after the game. And we're going to touch on the regional round here in just a moment. Quickly through the 1A sectionals. Sorry, I always run myself out of time. Oldenburg Academy, Jacksonville, they meet for the second year in a row at the Edinburgh sectional. Last year, Jacksonville won. This year, Oldenburg Academy gets its revenge 47-36 for Rising Sun. They were knocked out of the New Washington sectional by the host school on Friday night, 69-47. Trinity Lutheran went on to win the championship over New Washington. So, do want to get to the regional pairings for this weekend. In 3A, Batesville is going to take on number 4 Scottsburg. That'll be played at Seymour on Saturday. And if you're looking at this Scottsburg team, 21-5, 4 wins in a row. They've won 10 of 11. They're only time they've lost 2 in a row this season was to Brownstown Central and Providence, 2 of the best teams in Class 2A. They also have a loss to Evansville Christian, who's number 2 in 1A, so their losses have come to really, really good teams. Did lose to Jennings County, which Jennings County didn't play as well this year as they did last year. Jennings County was a team that lost to Lawrenceburg in the regular season, just to kind of draw some sort of comparison with a common opponent. So I do think Batesville can play with this Scottsburg team and can beat this Scottsburg team as well. Scottsburg does average close to 63 points per game. Defensive average is at 41.5. So this should be a pretty good game on Saturday at Seymour. And if you're going to Seymour, you're also going to catch the Switzerland County Forest Park game. Forest Park, 17-9. They've won 3 in a row. They did recently hang 92 on Crawford County. I think that was their second sectional game. They're a 57-point-per-game team 49 points allowed. They lost 16 points to the number two team in 1A. That was their top team that they played this season. They got a young man by the name of Reed Howard who's been on fire. 15, 16, 28, and 18 points over his last four. So a young man Switz is really going to have to deal with. Of course, Switz has got Cam Craig, so Forest Park's going to have to deal with him, and Switz has won 8 out of their last 11. And for Oldenburg Academy, they will take on number 13 Greenwood Christian at the Martinsville Regional. Greenwood 17-7, 5-game winning streak, 52 points per game, 43 allowed. They did defeat Oldenburg Academy 66-60 back on November 25th, but that's so long ago. Both of those teams going to be much different heading into the regional round, but we do wish good luck to Batesville, Switzerland County, and Oldenburg Academy as they look to keep their season alive and advance to the semi-state this Saturday. As always, thank you so much for tuning in to the show. A lot to get through. I feel like I just did a 3-overtime game yet again, so I am done. I am out of here. Thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate our friends at Ortho Sensi, as always, for their continued sponsorship of the show. We'll do it again next Monday, 6 to 6:30, right here on Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com.